Folks, today's study is number 8 in our series of studies entitled Bible Controversies. Now, in this series, we are looking at some particular doctrines about which Christians often disagree, like the issue of water baptism, the doctrine of spiritual gifts, and the doctrine of when to expect the Lord to return. Now, at present, we are looking at the doctrine of the Lord's return, and we have seen how that improper Bible handling, particularly the issue of failing to rightly divide the word of truth, is the main reason why there is so much confusion on this issue. If we fail to keep what the Bible teaches about the Lord's return to Israel distinct and separate from what it teaches about the Lord's return for us at the end of this dispensation, then folks, all we can expect is confusion and disagreement. However, if we will handle the Bible properly and rightly divide it in accordance with God's two programs, instead of mixing everything it says together, then not only will the Bible make sense, but we will know what doctrine about the Lord's return applies to us today. And now, having done this in our studies, as we have seen, the doctrine of the Lord's return that is found in the Old Testament scriptures, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the opening chapters of the book of Acts, and in Hebrews through Revelation, the doctrine of the Lord's return that is taught in this portion of the Bible is the Lord's return to Israel in God's program with them. Folks, it is not the Lord's return for us in this dispensation of Gentile grace in which we live today. And folks, when the Lord returns to Israel in his program with them, it will be after the tribulation period. It will be directly to this earth and to the land of Israel in particular, and it will be with power and great glory as he returns as a man of war in fierceness of anger and great wrath. And so the people of God in God's program with Israel will have to go through the Lord's day of wrath. They will have to flee from the wrath to come and endure the great tribulation. And they won't have the Lord coming for them until after the tribulation of those days, just as it taught to them in the Old Testament, the Gospels, the opening of the book of Acts, and Hebrews through Revelation. But once again, folks, that's true of the people of God in God's program with Israel. But it is not true of the church, the body of Christ, in this dispensation of God's grace. To us, through the Apostle Paul, God sets forth an entirely different expectation and hope. We have a different coming of the Lord to look forward to, which we need to be careful not to confuse with the Lord's return to Israel. Folks, God has not only suspended his program with Israel during this dispensation, but he has also promised us that he will come for us when he ends this dispensation, and when he does so, he will rapture us out of here and deliver us from the wrath to come. This, folks, is our blessed hope. And this is what we need to learn more of in today's study. Now, as we resume our examination, I'd like to have you take your Bibles once again and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, and this time to chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We have here, folks, a rather extensive passage that begins in about verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and runs all the way down through verse 11 of chapter 5. And it's an extensive passage describing the Lord's return to us at the end of this dispensation of grace. Now, we've seen some verses already here in 1 Thessalonians in our study, particularly back in chapter 1 and verse 10, where Paul makes the plain declaration that by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for us at the end of this dispensation of grace, he effectually delivers us from the wrath to come. He's going to take us out of here before he has his day of wrath, including the great tribulation period, on this earth. Well, that's going to be repeated again here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. And I want us to note that, especially in the opening 11 verses of chapter 5. But just before we do that, notice here that when we begin reading in verse 13 of chapter 4, Paul's going to actually give us a rather graphic description of the manner of the Lord's return for us, and what takes place at that time. And we'll be examining that in just a few moments here in today's study. Let's begin reading here, though, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Here's a graphic description once again of the Lord's coming for us at the end of this dispensation of grace. And the manner of the Lord's return is described as in verse 16, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And there's some other features that take place at that time that are described in this passage. And we'll be dealing with that in just a few moments here. But once again, here Paul is dealing with the doctrine of the Lord's return for us at the end of this dispensation. But as I said, it's a rather extensive passage, and it goes on into chapter 5. And the first 11 verses of chapter 5 are still dealing with it. But what he's emphasizing once again in the first 11 verses of chapter 5 is that the time at which the Lord returns for us, when it takes place, it once again effectually delivers us from the day of the Lord. And that's an important thing once again to understand and appreciate. In fact, that is the issue around which there is so much controversy and disagreement among Christians regarding the doctrine of the Lord's return. So I want to just underscore that one more time very quickly as we resume our examination on the Lord's return for us. Let's continue reading here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 now and verse 1. Paul says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." Let's just stop there for now. After having described the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for us at the end of this dispensation of grace in the latter verses of chapter 4, Paul immediately goes on now in chapter 5 and says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Now, it might appear as if the Apostle Paul is shifting subject matters here, but he's really not. Like I said, after having just described the coming of the Lord for us at the end of this dispensation of grace, he now underscores the fact that in view of that, we have no reason to be concerned about, nor no need to be taught about, the issue of what he calls the times and the seasons. Notice once again that in verse 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren," he says, "ye have no need that I write unto you." The times and the seasons, folks, is a reference to the final installment in God's program with Israel that has the day of the Lord's wrath taking place, that has the great tribulation transpiring in it. In fact, notice after referring to the times and the seasons in verse 1, and Paul goes on in verse 2 and explains the reason why we have no need to be written to, about the times and the seasons, is because, as he says in verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." The day of the Lord is the issue of the Lord's day of wrath on this earth, in which the great tribulation period takes place, and it's the issue that comprises the majority of the time In the Times and the Seasons, which is the final installment in God's program with Israel. And what Paul is once again underscoring here now in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians is that we have nothing to worry about in connection with going through that time. We don't need to be taught how to live and survive the times and the seasons. We don't have to be taught how to live and survive during the day of the Lord's wrath, and how to recognize the proximity of the Great Tribulation, and when to flee when we see certain things. Those are things that we have seen, for example, as in Matthew chapter 24, that the people of God and God's program with Israel need to be taught. But they don't have any promised deliverance from the day of the Lord. The Lord's not going to return to Israel until after the tribulation of those days. Therefore, it's a very important thing in God's program with Israel for the people of God to be taught about the times and the seasons. But once again, the Apostle Paul is coming along and telling us here that's not the case with us. We have no need to be taught about the times and the seasons. The day of the Lord is not going to transpire on this earth while we are here. We have the promise of the Lord's return to deliver us from the wrath to come, and therefore we don't need to be concerned about that. Now, I want to underscore it for you that the times and the seasons that Paul's referring to here is a reference, just as he says in verse 2, to the day of the Lord, especially to that final installment in God's program with Israel, in which the Lord's day of wrath occurs and the great tribulation transpires. Hold your place here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and come back with me for a moment to Acts chapter 1, and notice that the expression times and seasons was utilized by the Lord back here in Acts chapter 1 as he talked to his disciples, Peter, James, and John in particular, about the final installment in God's program with Israel. Acts chapter 1, and look with me if you would, down to verse 6. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. The previous verses here in Acts chapter 1 have described the 40 days of the Lord's ministry following his resurrection from the dead, in which he taught things to his disciples, especially his apostles, about the kingdom of heaven and the final way in which things were going to go in God's program with Israel now that the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ had taken place. Pick it up in verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." The Lord's preparing the apostles here for the continuation of his program with Israel now that the crucifixion and his resurrection from the dead had taken place. The first installment in the prescription for Israel's cleansing that John the Baptist had been administering has taken place, and John talked about the fact that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And now the Lord himself is talking about the fact that that second installment in Israel's prescription for cleansing is ready to transpire. Not many days hence, they're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. In connection with that, the disciples asked the Lord a question. Verse 6. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Once again, they understand what the program's all about. Israel's program, once again, is what's in view here. They understand that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't derailed God's program with Israel. They understand the things he's been teaching them for these past 40 days about the kingdom of God and about its establishment and about the remaining installments in the program with Israel that need to transpire before he really establishes it. But they're concerned about the issue of the time. And the Lord's response, once again, in verse 7 is, And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What I'm concerned with here is the Lord utilizing that expression, the times or the seasons. The disciples wanted to know exactly how things were going to be transpiring in that final installment in God's program with Israel as it began to come upon them. And the Lord's concern here is that they don't become occupied with that at the present time. The main reason for that is because there was an extension of God's mercy and forbearance being offered to the nation of Israel at this present time. And that's what the disciples needed to be concerned with primarily. But he utilizes the expression times and seasons in connection with the final installment in God's program with Israel. And that's the very way in which the Apostle Paul is utilizing the expression over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. It's in God's program with Israel that times and seasons are a big issue. In fact, God has always operated on time schedules with the nation Israel, going back as far as when he began the nation through Abraham, and especially through Daniel. A graphic time schedule was given to Israel, and it was broken down into various components, and following the Lord's resurrection from the dead, the final installment in that time schedule was what was ready to come upon the nation, and that's what Peter, James, and John and the rest were concerned about there in Acts chapter 1. But that expression, once again, times and seasons, is a reference to the final installment in God's program with Israel. And just as Paul makes plain here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's the issue of the times and seasons for the day of the Lord. And as he's telling us here in chapter 5, we don't have to worry about that once again, because we have promised deliverance from that by the Lord's special coming for us at the end of this dispensation, which he has previously described in chapter 4. Notice, though, as you go on down through the rest of the passage here in 1 Thessalonians 5, that the distinction between us and those that will be going through the day of the Lord is underscored by the Apostle Paul. And then especially in verses 8 through 11, he simply comes along and tells us that we have not been appointed unto the day of the Lord's wrath, but we've been appointed to obtain salvation, deliverance from that time by the Lord's coming for us. Note that once again, 1 Thessalonians 5, and notice he says in verse 3, For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The ones who will be going through the day of the Lord's wrath, the people of God, even in God's program with Israel, that'll be going through the day of the Lord's wrath, they're the ones referred to there in verse 3. But ye, Paul says in verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, he says, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. That's what we have once again. The hope of the confident expectation of salvation, deliverance from the day of the Lord's wrath, just as we have been promised. And that will take place by the Lord coming for us at the end of this dispensation. And he underscores it once again in verse 9. For God, he says, hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, just as described back in chapter 4, we should live together with him. Our salvation from the day of the Lord's wrath takes place by the Lord coming for us once again. And as Paul says in verse 11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Well, once again, we have that marvelous promise of being delivered from the wrath to come by the Lord's coming for us when he ends this dispensation of grace. But let's look back now into chapter 4, and let's note some of the other issues that we need to understand and appreciate about the Lord's coming for us when he ends this dispensation of grace. Notice once again back in chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14 that there's going to be a resurrection at that time. Verse 13, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." There was a question that had arisen concerning what about members of the church, the body of Christ, who die before the Lord returns. And Paul's answering that question here, and he's pointing out the fact that there's a resurrection at that time. And we need to understand and appreciate that. Members of the church, the body of Christ, who have died before this dispensation of grace ends, before, therefore, the Lord returns, they aren't going to miss out on anything when the Lord does return. There'll be a resurrection at that time, and they will receive a change in their bodies by means of resurrection, just like we who are alive and remain when the Lord returns will receive a change of our bodies instantaneously at that time, and together will be raptured up to meet the Lord in the air. A glorious and fantastic resurrection will take place also at the Lord's coming for us at the end of this dispensation. In fact, let's take a moment here and look at another passage in which the issue of that resurrection is dealt with in some detail. Come very quickly over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, and notice beginning in verse 50 here, the Apostle Paul deals with the issue of that resurrection and the changing of our bodies that will take place when the Lord returns for us. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50, Paul says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." In order for us to participate in our inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the heavenly places where God's plan and purpose for us resides, we need a change of bodies. Our present bodies are not able to exist and function in the heavenly places. And members of the church, the body of Christ, who have died, when their bodies are resurrected, they need a change in their bodies, even in its resurrection, so it's fit to exist and function out in the heavenly places. And so Paul comes along and tells us that's exactly what is going to take place when the Lord returns for us, when he ends this dispensation. Verse 51, "Behold," he says, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." We're going to have a changed body when the Lord returns for us, either by means of resurrection or instantaneously if we're ones who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's note it one more time over in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Excuse me. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We need this a change in our bodies, a change from its present vile condition, as Paul refers to here in verse 21, and it needs to be fashioned, he says, like unto Christ's glorious body. We didn't take the time to look at it back there in 1 Corinthians 15. You can do that on your own. But in the previous verses in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul described that at the resurrection of the dead, for us especially, when this dispensation of grace ends, there will be five change factors that our bodies will experience. One of those in particular is a change from a body fit to exist and function in this earthly realm to a body that's fit to function and exist in the heavenly realm. And that's all because God's plan and purpose for us as members of the church, the body of Christ, his new creation, it all pertains to the heavenly places. That's why Paul describes our present body as vile right now. It doesn't have the features it needs to have and the capacities that it needs to have to function out in the heavenly places. But when our bodies are changed and fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body, as Paul said back in 1 Corinthians 15, he's the second man, the Lord from heaven. And in his resurrection from the dead, he not only came back in a body that's glorified and immortal, but he came back in a heavenly body, a body fit to exist in the heavenly places from which he came. And as Paul says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we'll bear the image of the heavenly also. And that's once again all in accordance with the plan and purpose God has for us as the members of the church, the body of Christ. Well, folks, a resurrection of the dead in Christ and the changing of our bodies, especially to make them fit to exist and function in the heavenly places, is only part of what will be taking place when the Lord comes for us at the end of this dispensation. And we need to constantly keep in mind the fact that that coming delivers us from the wrath to come. And just as Paul says there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1, we have no need to be written to about the times and the seasons, because the day of the Lord is not something we will be experiencing, because the Lord's coming for us delivers us from the wrath to come. Well, folks, there's more for us to learn, and we're going to briefly look at some other issues in our next study, but right now we have run out of time in this broadcast. I'm glad once again, though, that you've been able to join us, and as always, I certainly hope you'll be able to join us next week at the exact same time. Now, if you would like a cassette tape copy of today's study, or a listing of available literature and tapes to help you understand and enjoy the Bible, folks, all you need to do is simply send us a note with your request. Now, the number of today's study to request is number 127.